May the Lord help us now as we turn again to the Holy Scriptures, to the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This was to be the greatest trial of Abraham's faith. That faith which he had in God. And yet it was to become the greatest blessing that ever he could receive. For it was said of him by the Lord Jesus Christ that he rejoiced to see Christ's day. He saw it and was glad. It is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. We need to appreciate all that the Lord is and all that he has done for the salvation of his people. And that we might understand that this is no peculiar pathway which the saints of old have not trod. Because we have many references in the Word of God to the pathway, sometimes an adverse pathway, a difficult pathway, trying pathway, sorrowful pathway, but nevertheless the pathway that they trod before us. Abraham had waited long for the promised son. Ishmael had been born, and the Lord had told him after Isaac's birth that he must be cast out. And that to Abraham itself was a great sorrow. But he was comforted in the knowledge that the son of promise had been born unto him. That son of promise which would be the heir of all that Abraham possessed. And so the Lord blesses Abraham with great prosperity and peace. But then comes the time for this trial. And the Lord said unto Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Well, Abraham obeyed God. And here is an example of what obedience really is. That we obey God without question, without let or hindrance, to do the will of God. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. The perfect will of God. Did Abraham understand the purpose of this? Did he question in his mind why God had asked this of him, this great sacrifice, this beloved son of his? Remember this, that Abraham was a man. He was made like unto us. And so he had the thoughts and feelings of an ordinary person. He wasn't a superhero. He wasn't one that was gifted above all others. A man, a real man, and on those 3 days' journey to the mount which God would show him, must have tried him severely. As to consider the reason for this great sacrifice. And yet there is not a hint or a suggestion found in the scriptures that Abraham balked at this proposal. But rather, he went straightway about the Lord's business. I say, not questioning the integrity of God, knowing that God would not ask him to do something which was not for his eternal good. And so we may find in life ourselves that God requires certain things of us, certain things that we have to give up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, certain things that we have to leave behind us. And it may be our nearest and dearest. It may be our children, our parents, our brothers or sisters, relations or friends, that we have to give up for Christ and for the gospel's sake. But let us remember that we need faith to do the will of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Abraham had this great faith to obey the command of God. There are many that speak about obeying God, but how many are there that perform that which God requires of them? And if he requires something at our hand, are we not justified in giving it unto him, knowing that he says, not ask of us that which is for our hurt or our detriment, but that which is of his goodness and glory and for our benefit? And so Abraham leaves his servants and takes Isaac alone, and they proceed up the mount. Now, the mount has a significant place in Scripture. The mount is where God spake personally with Moses, face to face. The mount is the place where the law was given. The mount was a place where the three favored disciples went up to have that wonderful view of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find on many occasions the Mount of God. The tabernacle was built upon Mount Zion. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified upon a mount. So the mount has a very significant place, and we lose much if we do not understand the salient points of Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Abraham, I say, was to learn a great lesson here of the Lord's showing him great things to come. And perhaps this is one of the greatest events of faith that is recorded in the whole of Scripture. How would it be with us if we were required to give up one of our children for the sake of the Lord? But let us realize the thoughts perhaps that went through Abraham's mind. He only had this one child of promise. And because he was the child of promise, then surely Isaac's life was preserved. The very fact that God had called upon him to take his son, his only son, and to offer him up for a sacrifice unto God was no mean thing. To give up everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might become disciples of him. You know, people are not willing to give up anything for true religion today. We're in a sad state and condition when we see in the churches those who have a form of religion but deny the power thereof. We hear in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Church of England, and in other churches, of people giving up things for Lent. And it is but a token gesture on their part. And really, it has no real significance to it. But it is God that called Abraham to give up his son. He didn't do it of his own volition. He did not take it into his own hands to do this. If you remember reading of the sacrifices of children in the Old Testament to the gods, that they had to run through the fire, how sad it is that man perverts everything that is good and true and deny the glory of the eternal God. Abraham then was obedient to this commission, although it must have been a question in his mind. So again, the reason for it. And yet nowhere do we read that Abraham even had a hint of contradiction in his mind toward God. And so they take the journey. And Isaac asks an important question. "Here am I, my son," says Abraham to him. And Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. What a beautiful picture it is. Father and son in complete harmony, walking together in the fear of the Lord, doing what God has commanded. And no doubt that Abraham had told Isaac the very reason why they were taking this journey. We don't read anything of Sarah in this, whether she had a knowledge of it or not. But they walk in perfect peace. And it is to those that obey the Lord that they can know something of the peace of God. That peace which is past finding out in nature. But that peace of God which the saints possess. Knowing that God is in control. Knowing that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Here we must obey. You know, people want today to question the scriptures, to try and find a way out, as it were, of strict observance of the truth. And Bibles have been designed to that end, that man need not meet God's requirements. How solemn it will be in the final analysis of those that have obeyed not the word of God, who have contradicted the perfect mind and will of God, and have taken it upon themselves to suggest some other way by which they can come to God. Abraham's faith exhaled at this time. No wonder he is called the father of the faithful. because it needed strength of courage. It needed perfect obedience. It needed a complete faith in God to do what God required of him. And so Abraham there upon the mount builds an altar unto the Lord. And he lays the wood in order. The fire is ready to be used to ignite the wood. And he takes his son Isaac and lays him bound upon the altar. Let us try and imagine what it must have been like for this man of God to take his only beloved son and to lay him there. What great act of faith, what great act of courage. But Abraham takes the knife into his hand, ready to plunge it into the heart of his only beloved son. But it is at this point that God intervenes. God calls upon Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he, the angel, said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What a word of commendation that the Lord gives unto Abraham here. He takes the thoughts of Abraham's heart for the action that was required of him. And here we have a beautiful picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the types and shadows of the Old Testament teach us much. But when we come to the New Testament and read of the fulfillment of these things, we see how exact the type is. Can we imagine that scene of matchless grace? Jesus in the sinner's place. Can we imagine the Father's love toward his only beloved Son? Was not God's heart moved when Jesus, my friend, hung on a tree and opened a channel of mercy for me? Could the Father look upon this scene without some affection, without some love to his only beloved son? And yet you see, Abraham was obedient to do the will of God. And here the type is a precious type of that which was to come concerning the eternal Son of God. But the type grows even stronger when we read the next verse. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Where did this ram come from? It had not followed Abraham in his 3-day journey. Where was a herd to be found in this wilderness spot upon a lonely mount? How had the ram got there? God provides. And we have here that word, Jehovah Jireh. And it may be interpreted in two ways. The way it is put in the text, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. But if you have a marginal reference Bible, I'm sure it will say, the Lord will provide. The Lord provided a substitute. A substitute for Isaac. That Isaac's life should be spared. And that the substitute should be offered up in sacrifice unto God. An odour of a sweet smelling savour, acceptable unto God. God received this offering with delight, because he knew the heart of the character who offered it up. One who offered it up in faith to God, who had been obedient to the mind and will of God, in that he was ready to plunge the knife in his son and to witness the blood that would pour forth out of his heart. But I say we have a type. And the great anti-type is Christ himself. Why did Christ come into this world? He came to save sinners. Paul says it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And how was this to be done? How could it be accomplished? How could God be just and justify the ungodly? It's all to be seen in the cross of Christ. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to them that believe it is the power of God. The power of God in exercise. The way of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And it is the only way to God. There is none other. If we have not faith here, then we have no faith at all. Faith in Christ as a substitute for us. To offer up unto God a perfect sacrifice for the sins of all his people from the beginning to the end of time. The Lord will provide for his covenant people a way by which they may be justified. And their justification is to be found in the person and finished work of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who in the volume of the book it was written that he came to that purpose to fulfil the law of God. That law which we have broken through and through. That law which condemns us to eternal misery. That law that speaks against us. That law which will judge all those that are out of Christ at the end of time. But that law fulfilled. That debt paid. That love enacted shows the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling all things for his people's sake. What free will can there be here? What part can man have in this great transaction? No part at all. He is a poor creature at best. And his debt rises up like great mountains to the sky. And he has nothing to pay. But for his people's sake, the Lord Jesus Christ paid all that was necessary. And it is a great mercy when we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to know that there can be now no condemnation. That although Satan may speak against us, as he spake against the saints of old, he cannot speak against us rightly, because Christ shows the wounds of his hands, his feet and his side, an ever living witness to that finished work and all that was accomplished in Gethsemane's garden and upon Calvary's tree. The Lord will provide. But what is this to us? Will the Lord provide for us? Are we one of those in the covenant of grace? Have we been chosen in Christ before the world began? Is it not a great question? Is it not something that we desire to consider? Whether we be safe for time and for eternity. Whether it be that Christ died for our sins, though we may receive it as a truth, that Christ died for the sins of his people, we may recognize the great transaction at Calvary. We may understand the principle of godliness here, God manifest in the flesh, that he might die, that erring souls might live. But what about me? Was my name written upon his heart? Am I one of his people? Am I a child of God? Am I secure in that knowledge that my sins have been put away, that they shall be looked upon no more again forever, or that none can come against me? None can speak to the loss of my soul. Ah, to know that we are one of God's people. To know that it is true concerning us. There are many, even in the world today, who have a supposition. They think that they are children of God. They think that they are born again of the Spirit. They think that they have the gift of everlasting life. But what do their thoughts rest upon? With many, it rests upon what they think that they have done for the Lord, how they have lived their lives uprightly and graciously before him. They think because they have attended the house of God all their days, that God is indebted to them, that God owes them something. But of course, God owes nothing to any of us. We are all wretched, condemned sinners. It is of his mercy alone. By grace we are saved, and that is through faith. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in what he has done for us, and how that faith will look beyond this time state into the eternal future. And what a great comfort it is if we have that faith. Now some have strong faith, some have weak faith, but faith, even though it be the faith as a grain of mustard seed, will bring salvation to the soul of that one who possesses it. As I think I mentioned last week, the life of a baby in the family is as precious as the faith of the grown-up child. The life that is given, it will be sustained, and yet it will be through many sorrows. But look at the blessing that came forth from it. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. You know, those words have been spoken before, haven't they, in Scripture? Because thou hast done this thing. We go back to the very beginning and to Adam and Adam's great transaction, his great fall. Adam's disbelief, unbelief, which occasioned God to speak these words to him, because thou hast done this thing. And what is it? Because he had done this thing, that the curse came upon the earth. That Adam was cast out of the garden, out of God's presence. And the Lord says, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. God spake these words to Satan. Satan, who was to be cursed eternally. But unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Because thou hast done this thing. So, the serpent is cursed eternally, and the ground is cursed for Adam's sake. And misery, instead of great happiness, shall proceed in his life. But how different it is here with Abraham. Because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, if the Lord has provided a substitute for us, that 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place, will he not provide for all our needs? As the apostle informs us, my God shall supply all your need. Then can we not look to him for his great and kind provision, that he will provide for us for all the necessities of life and for all the blessings of this earth? Also, he will provide for us a place in heaven, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to provide a place for you. And if I provide a place for you, I will come again, that he might bring us into that possession. The provision of a place in heaven is no mean provision. It's a better provision that we can receive of anything here below. A place in glory there to be forever with the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Who shall it be seen by? Firstly, it shall be seen by God himself. As Hagar said, "Thou God seest me." To understand that the Lord sees his people where they are, and he sees them with divine affection. He loves them with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness does he draw them. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. But where is the mount of the Lord? Well, it is said that we go up unto the house of God. We go up into the sanctuary of God. We go up to worship God. And David captured the mount for himself. And the Lord rewarded him and greatly blessed him, because again he believed in God. He believed in God's provision. And all those that believe in God's provision will be blessed of him. They will receive of the Lord great benefits. But it will be seen by us also, if we are the Lord's people, how the Lord provides in his house a place of safety and a place of security, a place where he pours out his blessing upon his people. And that blessing is seen in the word that he gives unto us, the word of God for our comfort and for our cheer, a word that lifts us up. You know, the mount, or the mountain, if we climb the mountain, we are further and further away from the earth. We go up into high places, places of great altitude, away from all the busy scenes of life, there to be alone with God. Wasn't that the very place where Moses met with God and spake to him as he speaks with a friend? There he communed with the Most High. And sometimes we need to leave the busy scenes of life. We need to come up into the house of God, there to hear the gospel preached, the word of God proclaimed. There we come to meet with our God. And it is a great blessing when we can feel the presence of God with us. Where the Lord meets in the midst of his people, where he speaks freely unto their souls. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. But that mountain is not restricted to the house of God. The mount of the Lord is where ever we meet with God. Perhaps in private prayer, when we enter into our closet and close the door and pray unto our Father in secret, and the Lord will reward us openly. It may be found in the reading of the scriptures, in searching them out, in finding Christ Jesus set forth upon every page. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. But God provides. He provides the means of grace whereby the Lord's people may be delivered. It is, as the apostle tells us, through the foolishness of preaching. You know, it is something for the Lord to commission a man to preach the gospel. but we are to preach the word of God. We have no other authority but that which is found in the scriptures. We cannot look to another book. We cannot take it upon ourselves to speak from ourselves. It must be the revelation of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit inspires the servants of God to bring forth the truth as it is in Jesus. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Where else will it be seen? It's not seen in the dens of iniquity. It's not seen in the pleasure houses of this world. No, it is, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. The Lord says to his people, I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. It is a great mercy to be separated, to be separated from this mad world, to have the peace and quietude of God's house. As we often repeat, we love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells. The joy of thine abode, all earthly joy, excels. What a great privilege that we poor miserable offenders can come together and meet with our God, that we can pour out our praises and our supplications before him, knowing that God will hear the plaintive cry of his people, that he will answer all their needs. Now, God is a God of providence as well as a God of grace. My every need he richly will supply. And what a mercy it is to know that the Lord provides in this life for the essential needs of his people. And they have to say at the end of the day that they have lacked nothing. What a mercy it is to know that God will provide. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation, that the Lord will provide for us all those necessities that we stand in need of. Whether we be rich or poor, strong or weak, in health or in sickness, the Lord will provide. He will provide an answer to all the dilemmas of life, to all those things that we can't understand. Why is it thus with me? As Gideon said of old. But the Lord is able to answer these things, and he's able to provide those answers which shall be a blessing to us. Answers of peace and of an expected end. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know, as I said before, Abraham was a rich man. He didn't need any earthly provisions. He had everything that his heart could desire. He needed the provision from heaven. He needed the provision of God. He needed blessings from on high. And because of his faith, his faithfulness, God supplied this need also, that he was blessed to be the father of the faithful. And all those that are the children of Abraham are blessed in him. As we have an indication here that the word of God was to be proclaimed throughout every nation, to every creature, tribe and tongue. We have many blessings in nature, but how much more do we find that blessing which comes from God alone? The moral here is to live by faith and not by sight. to live upon the merits of Jesus Christ alone, to live to his honour and to his glory. Faith to believe that whatever our condition or situation in life, the Lord will provide for us and we shall lack nothing. It is a great blessing then to have that faith of God's elect, to believe in God, to believe he is able, although we don't understand the pathway, we don't know the reason why, still to have faith to believe that God's way is best, whatever that way may be, whether it be 40 years of a circuitous journey through the wilderness. Yet the Lord provided for them. He was able to set a table in the wilderness for his people, and they could rest upon the Lord. That cloudy pillar by day, that fiery pillar by night that guided them all their journey through. And at last they came into Canaan. And at last the people of God will come into the promised land, and they will be with the Lord forever. Oh, let us not live by unbelief. As we read, 40 years long was God grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. What a curse came upon this world through unbelief. But what a blessing through faith. Oh, may we exercise that faith. May we live it out. May we walk it out day by day until we're blessed with that crowning glory of God's faith, grace. I will give grace and glory. No good thing will I withhold from him that walks uprightly. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen.